Welcome to episode 455 of the Comic Source Podcast. I'm your host, Jace.
I'm Manny.
And this episode is a Justice League Spotlight episode. Today, Manny and I are going to be talking about Justice League number 5. Although, maybe we shouldn't even call it Justice League. Maybe we should call it Legion of Doom. Because Scott Snyder's gone on record as saying every few issues or so, like every four issues, five issues, James Tynan's going to come on to write an issue that's going to focus on the Legion. It's going to tell the story from their perspective. So James Tynan writes this issue. We've got Doug Monkey on art. We've got Will Quintana handling colors. And inks are by Jaime Mendoza. I have to say, as much of a fan of the Legion of Doom as a concept as I am, you know, we all kind of know how I feel about this version of Legion of Doom. I like it for the most part. I'm not 100% sold on Lex Luthor with his, oh, I'm going to be a hero. Oh, I'm not going to be a hero. I mean, it kind of makes sense. But for me, the big one that sticks out that just doesn't belong is the Joker. So no big shock to longtime listeners of the Comic Source Podcast. You know how jokered out I am these days. But overall, I thought it was a pretty interesting issue. It definitely gives some perspective. I think if you put this issue, like even one or two issues sooner, you get a completely different experience with reading Justice League, because the first issue felt so grandiose and so just magnified, like the importance of everything was magnified. I think at the time when it came out, I said it was the most important comic as far as repercussions and consequences of the DC Universe since Crisis. I don't think that this story I just don't feel the same way about it anymore. I don't think it's going to have quite that impact. It kind of shrunk focus very quickly with issue 2. But one thing that we just weren't sure about, and there's still a lot of questions to be answered, is what exactly is Luthor's plan? Like, we didn't understand it at very much. And then finally, last issue, it kind of started to be pieced together. And now with this issue, we're seeing it from his perspective. We're seeing him, you know, come right out and say kind of what his philosophy is. He thinks people are self-centered, self-absorbed, egotistical, and as opposed to that philosophy that thinks people are generally good. He thinks that people are basically fighting against their true nature when they do good things. And he's like, well, if this is the way that we've been created and the universe is dying because the source wall has been cracked open, then why shouldn't we just do whatever we want, be true to ourselves? So we definitely got Luthor's perspective, and you can look at it as not a necessarily evil way to look at things or a heroic way, but just as more of a realistic way. But at the end of the day, it goes back to that saying, like, actions speak louder than words, right? And when you're shrinking yourself down to microscopic size and invading Superman's body and then controlling him, there's no ambivalence there, right? There's no ambiguity. You are definitely a bad guy. You're definitely a villain. So I kind of thought I would enjoy this issue more, being that it was going to focus on the Legion of Doom, but it was so heavily Luthor focused, and it just kind of reinforced the things that I had already picked up on as far as Luthor's motivations and what his plans were from reading the first issues, and also just from listening to other interviews that the Justice League creators have done and listening to Scott talk at Comic-Con and stuff. So I guess for me, it wasn't quite as informative as it could have been. And I'm sure for other readers out there, they're going to get more out of it than I did, just because maybe they're not aware of those other things. Maybe they don't pay as much attention to comic news. They weren't at Comic-Con, you know, what have you. So I think it was an important issue, but I'm really looking forward to seeing the next Legion of Doom issue and see how that differs, and see as the story unfolds what these Legion of Doom issues are going to be like. I will say this. You don't you certainly don't get the impression after reading the issue that this version of the Legion of Doom has a lot of like teamwork and I got your back and, you know, camaraderie type stuff. They're pretty in it to win it for themselves, right? I mean, Luther really, I mean, they were like, I'm not joining you. And then Luther was like, well, here's actually the secrets of the universe. And then they saw that that would be good for me. I guess I will go ahead and join you, Luther, rather than snapping your neck. So it was a good issue. Doug Monkey's art for me, it's gotten kind of more detailed over the years. And I think kind of like Gary Frank, he's gotten more detailed. And I think Gary Frank, for a while there, his art got so detailed that it got a little bit distracting. And then he kind of dialed it back a little bit. For me, Monkey's kind of in the same situation. Like, it's gotten so detailed that it's gotten to be a little bit distracting. And it's kind of unfortunate. I think that there are times when it pulls me out of the story. But that's just my kind of, you know, personal thing. The storytelling is great. And normally I like detailed art. And he does have like clean lines and everything. But I don't know. There's just something about his art. Like, you can look at the, I think it's on the very first page when you're looking around the wrinkles around Luther's eyes. It's just a little too much. Like, sometimes less is more. So anyway, what were your first overall impressions of this issue, Manny?
I had to go through it twice, which is actually why I took so long to read it, because my first impression was I didn't like it. It was really detailed. It almost felt like too much of Luther Grant. It almost felt like the entire issue was Luther grandstanding.
It is.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And I'm just like, oh, like kind of like you. It was like, I already know all this. Let's move on. But I understand why it's necessary. And kind of going back again and just kind of skimming it over and looking it over again. I'm like, you know what? I can do this. I kind of like this. I like that we're kind of resetting the Legion of Doom and their objectives and how they're going to get there and Lex going into the future and whatnot. I thought that it was told in a very, they did a great job at telling the story from that point of view. And I think it's great that we're going to get issues every now and then that are Legion of Doom oriented, because I think they're obviously just as important as the Justice League. So first didn't like it, then it grew on me, and now I'm good with it. I like it. It's good. But you're right though about the placement. I think it is the right time in the story to put that issue in. Or maybe one or two issues before, that would have been way too soon. And I probably maybe would have even got just not been on board with the entire series in general.
Yeah, it would have kind of spoiled. It would have, I think, ruined some of the suspense if we'd have known. There's kind of a certain rhythm to the way that Snyder was telling the story. So let me give a really quick synopsis. I'm not going to go too in detail at all. It starts off and there's we see Arkham Asylum. We see Black Adam over the skies of Kandik. We see down in hell with Neron and Trigon on an apocalypse. Everybody feels the universe tremble as Luther basically pilots Superman's body step by step forward. He's about to achieve everything he ever dreamed of. And then we flash back. We flash back to the Source Wall when it was first breached, and the Lantern Corps, the Green Lantern Corps, is there trying to hold the breach in. We see Sinestro there, leader of the Yellow Corps, calling his corps to reinforce, because he knows that if the dead universe on the other side of the Source Wall leaks in, it'll destroy this universe. And then Luther shows up, and this is basically him recruiting Sinestro, and he's basically telling Sinestro what I was talking about before. Like, why are you trying to do good? You're not a good, that's not who you are. This is not about what you need. It's about what you want. Like, remember back in the day when you first were Sinestro, when you crafted that first yellow ring of fear through your own ability, through your own power. You know, I can give you everything that you've ever wanted, the invisible spectrum and more. And Sinestro's like, I'm listening. And then we flash back to even before then, Luther, right after the events of Justice League No Justice, when he learned that entropy was the overall dominant energy of human life, which to him meant that everything he does is meaningless. So why am I wasting my time fighting against myself trying to be a hero? That's Luther's thinking, right? So he took apart his mother box. He used it to create a time machine. He traveled 1 million years into the future. And lo and behold, who is revered more than anyone 1 million years in the future? It's Luthor himself in a town called Lexor City. And he runs into some like Joker knockoff wannabe. And he talks about how it kept happening over and over for a millennium that they could never hold on to a society. Like they'd build a society up and then it would crumble. And finally, an archaeologist found the lost works of Luthor and broadcast them to the world. And those teachings were that no matter how ugly you were on the inside, stop pretending. Just be who you are. And they were able to conquer the universe that way. And this future Joker goes on to tell Luther that they call him the Great Tragedy because he knew all this way back when, but he wasn't able to do anything with the knowledge. And so he says, you knew the truth, but you missed the key. It was right below, you know, under your nose the whole time. You could have rewritten human history. He's like, all I can show you is the symbol at the heart of it all. We call it doom, and it's that symbol, same symbol that's on the doorknob. So Luther returns, and that's the knowledge he has when he starts recruiting his Legion of Doom. We see him recruit Grodd. We see him go into the basement of the Legionnaires' Hall that we saw. I think it was issue 2 that we saw that, where he saw a door that no one else did. In that American Legion Hall of his father's, and where he found that doorknob, the doorknob with the symbol of doom on it. I find it kind of weird and not really that interesting. Like, why a doorknob? I mean, even as a metaphor, oh, you know, it's opening doors to other realities or whatever. I just don't find it to be that interesting. It just seems really hokey to me. But yeah, that's basically a story. And I'm glossing over a lot. I don't want to go into a really, really deep synopsis. But that's it. I mean, it's clearly this is a Luthor story, and we're getting his perspective. We're getting him. We see him recruit Grodd. We see him talk about recruiting the scion of the turtle, you know, which is the little baby, recruiting Sinestro. So I imagine we may see in future Justice or in future Legion of Doom issues, we may see him recruit the rest of the team. So if we do see that, then I'm going to reserve judgment on these Legion of Doom issues. Because again, I want to see once we get to one of these Legion of Doom issues, that's not about Luther discovering these secrets of the universe and finding this doorknob and, you know, learning from the people that inhabit the city of the future that's named after him, right? Like I want some other kind of Legion of Doom stories to compare. So other than that, the color work is spectacular. I think the inks by Jaime Mendoza are done well. The colors by Will Quintana, I should mention. And I've never had a problem with Monkey's storytelling or the way he lays things out within a panel. I think they're all top notch. It's just, I saw, maybe this applies to him. I saw this this joke that somebody put up on Twitter, and I've seen it before, but and even they were like, every once in a while I have to remind myself of this. And the joke is like, how many painters does it take to paint a masterpiece? And the answer is 2, one to paint it and the other one to tell him when to stop. Like, stop adding lines, stop adding figures, stop, you know, you've got to know when to stop. So, being that this is a Legion of Doom issue, though, I will say it feels very different than the previous Justice League issues. And so I do wonder how, I mean, I guess there's enough of the main story with, you know, we get a shot of Superman at the end, Luthor's walking him forward. There is some talk about what exactly is going on in the main narrative. Cause I don't want it to lose momentum. We've been on, as I said, Snyder's established a pretty good rhythm. You know, we've been on this bi-weekly schedule with the book coming out every other week. And I you certainly want to know what's going on inside that. I was going to say the singularity. Is that what it's called? Yeah. Inside that singularity where Martian Manhunter and Superman are. So, anything else to add, Manny?
One of my favorite things about the issue was the reintroduction of the Doom base headquarters.
Oh yeah.
And like the armory and where they sit down and the torch. The interesting thing, I was like, wow, I know you don't like the Joker, but I was pretty, that's pretty wild the way that they described the torture chamber. They said, it was built and then the Joker modified it and then tested it on himself. And then it says Cheetah did not know what was more disturbing, the blood or the laughter. I thought that was great. So, that part of the book was really cool. And, the only thing I kind of didn't like, and I still don't, is it kind of felt, when he was trying to find out what he missed, whatever, it kind of felt a little Tony Stark-ish, going like Marvel Cinematic Universe Tony Stark, where he had to go back and look through his dad's work, and then like that's where he found his aha moment. I was like, oh, that's Tony Stark. That's exactly what happened. So, I don't know. I've always thought of Lex Luthor very, very highly, and I don't necessarily think that his intellect comes from his father or anybody else for that matter. I think it's all Lex Luthor. And, that was a bit much. I think that's where I was kind of like, this is a bit much. That's where it took me a while to get back on board with it. But, the reintroduction again of the Doom base is really cool.
Yeah. And what's interesting is how it compares to what we know about the Hall of Justice. They're such opposites, right? Like, you know, in the first issue, they're talking about the Hall of Justice, how it's built out of like this this material that's similar to marble, but that Superman got from some galaxy, and it like glows all on its own, even when there's no light. It like puts that, it's like a beacon, right? And as opposed to the Legion of Doom headquarters that absorbs light, you could be standing, you know, just a few feet away from it. And, you know, looking right at it and not even know it's there because it absorbs all light. And yeah, so I thought that was a really cool, like, juxtaposition, you know, like they're complete opposites. And one thing that I did like that talk about the Joker, like, you know, modifying whatever. And it made me remember when I used to like the Joker, which was pretty much before he came back in Snyder's Death of the Family series, that story arc from the New 52 Batman. Like, from that time, when the Joker, I feel like the Joker has been in multiple books in the DC universe every month since then. And it's just too much. Like, when he used to show up once in a while, I kind of liked it. You know, he showed up in the first issue of Detective Comics for the New 52 and, you know, got his face cut off by the Dollmaker and then was gone for like over a year. And that was fine. Like, I didn't hear anybody like, oh, where's the Joker? Where's the Joker? I thought it was fine. But ever since he's come back and you know, did the whole Joe's Garage thing and had his, you know, face held on with like scotch tape or whatever it was. Ever since then, man, he's been like front and center in the DC universe, like forever. And it's like a Star Wars movie, you know, it stops being special when it's just all the time, every month.
No, I agree with you, because you can only serve his level of insanity for so long before you have to try something different. And with the Joker, I just feel like there isn't anything different. It's supposed to be chaotic, and it's supposed to be messy and bloody and just all over the place, kind of like he was in Death of a Family. It was great, you're right. And to put kind of a more of a backstory to him and have him around for so long after what happened, like all those layers that they added, they tried to add to him at the end, near the end of Moon 52, I thought that was a bit much to give him such stature as great as a character as I think he is. Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, and still, it's still happening now. I mean, now what? The DC is trying to do what? Two films on him? One with Joaquin Phoenix and one with Jared Leto. The book with Mark Silvestri is going to feature the Joker.
Yep.
Then you have, then they're going to, the Joker that laughs is going to get his own title. We just finished White Knight, which was Joker oriented. I mean, like, just
don't forget about Batman the Last Knight, where Batman's gonna have Joker's head in a jar clipped on his belt. Also, don't forget about Jeff Johns and Jason Fabok, three Jokers.
I mean, so
it's like the year of the the decade of the Joker. Like, I mean, I hope after all this, they finally put him back up on the shelf for a little while.
We've been waiting for it for a while. And I mean, the thing is, I mean, like Tom King, he's put him away. He's brought him back for a couple of issues every now and then, and for good reason. I mean, for the whole wedding thing, I think it was very important to have him involved. But, and then obviously for the War of Jokes and Riddles, that was done really, really well. But he put him away, but nobody else has. And so we have him here in the Justice League, and then we're going to have him in all those titles that we just mentioned. Again, I can use as much as I like the guy, I can use a little break from the Joker.
This is Scott Snyder, who used Joker so extensively in Batman. He's the one telling this Justice League story, so... Legion of Doom is going to be a big part of it, and that means the Joker is going to be a big part of it. So I don't know. I always think about it when we do these podcasts. When we start talking about the Joker, I think about, man, next time I see Dan Didio or Jim Lee or Scott Snyder, even Tom King, I should ask him about it, off the record. And then I get there and I forget. I totally forget. I need to write myself a little cheat sheet, like things to ask. Anyway, we've gone from talking Justice League to talking Jokers. I think that means that we've said all we need to say about Justice League number 5. It definitely is a change of gears. I think it'll read really well in a big collection.
I agree.
Focused on, Justice League, and then you get a little kind of almost like a palate cleanser or a shift in perspective and take the villain's view of stuff. So kudos to the creative team all involved for that. So any last things to add, Manny?
For these podcasts, you need to start queuing up that classic Legion of Doom.
Oh, I know.
Soundbite. You keep saying you're going to do it, and I keep waiting for it, and I don't get it.
Yeah. The Legion of Doom. Yeah, or the meanwhile, back at the Hall of Justice. Anyway, thanks for joining us, everybody. Please tell your friends about us. Subscribe and rate us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or whatever platform you use. The ratings really help with our visibility and our ability to reach new listeners, especially 5-star reviews on iTunes. Also, all past episodes of the podcast are available there, as well as at lrmonline.com. While you're at the site, check out all the other pop culture coverage of your favorite and upcoming movies and TV shows. If you want to email us, the email address is thecomicsourceblog@gmail.com. Or you can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/thecomicsource. Do a search for The Comic Source on Facebook and Instagram to follow us on those social platforms. All three spots are great places to find out when we release new episodes, as well as follow all our convention coverage. Don't forget, I'll be at Palm Springs, or Comic-Con Palm Springs, coming up the last weekend in August. So if you're going to be there, let me know. I'd love to meet up with you, hear what you like about the show. Maybe you have some recommendations of things you'd like us to cover. And of course, I'll hook you up with a free Comic Source lanyard. So once again, I want to thank everyone for joining us, and we'll talk to you next time.